Praise God. Well, praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you the title to my sermon today, and I might go through this kind of quickly because I got a little bit here. But the title to my sermon today is A Doer of the Word, An Expression of His Light. And you know, the last 3 weeks I've talked to you about the light of God. I had a sermon on walk in the light. I had a sermon in You Are the Light. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. You are the light. And then I believe if you're a doer of the word, you'll be an expression of his light. In James 1, verse 17 through 25, and I'm going to pause for a word before I get into that, a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, your words are spirit and life. Just pour yourself through me. Help me to say only that which you'd have me say today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, you know who that is? That's Jesus. And why is he called the Father of lights? Because you are the light. He's the Father. You're the lights. With whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, my beloved man, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Well, you know, he engrafts his word into your heart. You're his epistle. Everywhere you go, you're known and read of men. And as he places his word in your heart, you have to not only be a hearer of the word, but you have to become a doer of the word, see? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, I took those words there where it says, be ye doers of the word, and I kind of broke them down. And here's what it means. Be ye means to cause to be, to become, or to come into being. A doer is the word poetess, and it means a performer, especially a poet, a doer, a poet. And what a poet does, and I've shared this section of this with you a little bit before, a poet is one who puts things in harmony. And, you know, years ago, when I read a Helen Steiner's Rice poem, you know, I had never written any poetry, and I've told you all that before. And, you know, I read her Windows of Gold poem, and I said, Lord, I wish I could write something like that. And I'm still in the process of trying to write something like that. It was so beautiful. I've never read a poem that was more beautiful than that. And anyway, and then God gave me the first poem that he ever gave me. And I shared that a few weeks back with you. But what a poet does is he takes words that by themselves are kind of insignificant. But he places them in certain places to where when you go down another line or two in whatever you're trying to say, there's another word that harmonizes with that word. And, you know, songs, all people wonder. One of the best ways to learn anything is to sing it. When Mark was in grade school, he had a teacher, and I think Jennifer had him too. I think it was Mrs. Braun, wasn't it? She would teach him all the principles, it was math, wasn't it, of math by teaching him songs. You know, if I said to you, double your pleasure, double your fun, right away, you'd think of spearmint gum. Double mint, you know, well, you know, spearmint, it's made by spearmint. You'd think of double mint gum, see? And if I told you various little jingles, and you find yourself singing them stupid jingles sometimes, you know. I mean, because the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light sometimes. But anyway, that's what that means. That's why poems had touch people's lives. That's why songwriters write songs and they rhyme. You don't, unless you pay real close attention, you don't always notice it, but they rhyme. And that's really what songs are. They're poems, you know, but they're put to music. And the word harmonious, this is the definition of it, means forming a pleasing or consistent whole, free from disagreement or dissent. And you know, when the thing about a poem is it agrees as it goes down. It keeps agreeing and agreeing and agreeing. And our lives, we all look for harmony in our lives, you know. And we look for it in a lot of things, but we're only ever really going to find it in God. Because he made us to desire to be harmonious. So it's be a doer of the word, and the word there is the word logos. And I feel like years ago God gave me a good definition for the word logos. And the definition I feel like he gave me was the thought, the intention, and the purpose of God. You know, when he brought forth Jesus, in the beginning was the word, the thought, his intentions, and his purposes, and he brought it into the earth, and he clothed it in flesh, and what it was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, when we come to a place where we come into being harmonious, forming a consistent, whole, free form of from disagreement or dissent of the thought, the intention, and the purposes of God, we're going to find out that all of a sudden we begin to radiate the light of God. And it says, the next verse down from that says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, and he goes away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. And until you come in harmony with the word, you can't come in harmony with the work. God has called everyone. He's given you works that were given to you to perform before the foundation of the world. But you have to begin to become in harmony with his word to know what those works are, you know. And when it talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty, I did a little word study on those words. Now, I like this. The word to look means to bend beside or to lean over so that we might peer within. I like that. When he's saying, when he is saying, look into the perfect law of liberty, he's saying, bend yourself down and peer within and know that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And when it says, look into the perfect law, and that word for perfect there is the word telos, and it means complete in various application of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. It means completeness of a full-aged man, complete. So he's saying when you look within and really start to look within, you're going to find out that what I say about you, Jesus, you said one time, be ye what? Perfect. Because your Father in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfect. Now, I got news for you. Anytime says God says to you, be you something, guess what? It is, because he said it. And you say, well, bless God, Oscar, I don't feel very perfect. I don't care what you feel like. You say, I don't do everything perfect. I don't care what you do. I just care about what God's word declares. I want to be a doer of his word. I want to be harmonious with his word. Be ye perfect. And that means complete in various applications of growth, labor, mental, moral, unrestrained. It means completeness of a full-aged man. And liberty means unrestrained to go. A citizen, not a slave, exempt of obligation or liability. And you say, wait a minute now. I did something bad yesterday. I have liability because of that. And I'm going to tell you, no, you don't. Because of what he did on Calvary, you've been forgiven. Because of what he says about you, you've been forgiven. And it means exempt from obligation or liability, at liberty, and I put in here, because of the grace of God. That's the only reason. It's not because of what you did or what you do. We're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. That doesn't mean that you just go out and do everything that comes to your mind and do everything bad or anything like that, and that you got to get out of jail free card. But what it means is that as you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to make mistakes once in a while, what you feel like are mistakes. But I'm going to tell you what, I've learned over the years, there isn't no real mistakes in God. There's learning opportunities. There's you learn about yourself. You learn that without him, you're nothing. You learn that you can't do this thing in your own strength, that it has to be through him. And you have to walk in that perfection, but you walk in that perfection because of who he is, not because of who you are. Because you have a mistaken identity. You think you're of the old Adam. You're not. You're of the new Adam. You're of the last Adam. Okay? I'm going to tell you, here's how I'm going to justify that to you. In Romans 8:38 through 39, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sakes are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. That's pretty powerful. It's saying nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's only one thing that can separate you from the love of God sometimes. It's you. Not believing what his word declares. Not being a doer of his word. Not being harmonious with what his word says. Convincing yourself that you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're not a dirty, rotten sinner. He says that you're a king and priest. Yes. That you're a royal generation. That you're a holy nation. That you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he says about you. What do you say about you? Better start saying what he says about you. Colossians 1:12 through 22. I'm trying to go through this pretty quick now. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that word consist there is an interesting word. It comes from two root words. And it's a primary preposition denoting union with or together, including completeness. Okay? And the second word means to stand. So let's take that second word and add it to the end of that other definition, to stand complete. Do you believe you stand complete? Yes. Scripture says you do. It says, and you are complete in him. Yes. Okay. It also means to abide. Do you think you abide complete in him? Word says you does, that you do. It means to bring, to continue, to covenant, and to establish that you are complete in him. To stand by completion, to stand forth in completion, to stand still in completion, to stand up in completion. Now, that's what those two words mean. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, to him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. Now, if he reconciled everything in the earth and he reconciled everything in the heavens, then guess what? Everything's reconciled. Whether you believe it or not, whether you see it with your natural eyes or not, we have to begin to declare what God's word declares. Okay? It says, and you who sometimes were alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You've been reconciled, folks. In a body of flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Do you believe you're unblameable? Do you believe you're unreprovable in his sight? That's what his word says. So either you believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe it, guess what? You're going to have a hard time expressing the light of God, being that doer of the word and expressing, being an expression of his light. Now, next verse, and I might read this whole thing to you. It'll take a few minutes if I do, but I love this chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Everybody should read Isaiah 45. You should read it pretty often because we tend to forget what it says. Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, I love this, and I've got it underlined. I form light. Now, forming something is a process. He's forming you, light in you. As you become a doer of his word, that light is going to increase and increase and increase in you until when people see you, they see him. Because he is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Not just the Christians, not just the ones that's made a commitment. He lights every man that comes into the world. And it says here, I form light and I create darkness. Now to create something, when you created something, it's a finished process. When you form something, it's an ongoing process. Okay? I make peace, and I create evil. Wait a minute. You're saying God creates evil? But it's not really going to be evil in the end, whatever he uses it for. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation. And let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Oh, man, I'll tell you, this is a powerful scripture back here. You read it. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. A lot of Christians, folks, strive with this portion of scripture here. They struggle with it. They don't believe it. They'll come against it. They'll fight with it. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begottest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command you me. You ever ask God concerning his sons? You know who you're going to be asking him about when you ask him that? Yourself. Because if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. It says in Romans 8 chapter, know ye not, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So when you ask him concerning his sons, you're saying, Lord, what about me? That's what you're saying. What about me? What about my brothers and sisters out there? You know. And he didn't say only to ask him. He said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. When you command something, you're saying, Lord, I really want to know this. I really, really want to know this. And you know what? I believe when you ask him with a pure heart, guess what? He's going to tell you what you need to know at that moment. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all of his ways. And he shall build my cities, and he shall let go all my captives, not for price, nor for reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, if he's not going to charge a price, and he's not going to charge give you a reward because of it, then what's he doing it by? And he's only going to do it by his grace. Only by the grace of God. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God other than the one that's in you. That's what they're basically saying there. They're going to come over in chains. There's a lot of folks out there in chains. We were talking about people who are today we were praying for. Guess what? A lot of them are in chains today. But I'm telling you what, as we rise up and let the light shine, we're going to begin to set the captives free. They're going to come over to you. Praise God. Surely there is, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God who hidest himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. You know where he hides himself? In you and in me. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank God he decided to hide himself inside of us. Praise God. It says, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, and with everlasting salvation you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, and God himself that formed the earth and made it, he that established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have spoken in secret and in dark places of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, shall speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge and set up wood for their graven images, and they pray unto the God that cannot save them. A lot of people are praying unto Wall Street. They're praying unto General Motors. They're praying unto a lot of things that they think is going to save them. It's not going to save them, folks. Praise God. And it says, tell ye and bring them near. Ye let them take counsel together who hath declared this from the ancient times. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, the ends of the earth, for I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. How many's every? That's all. I got news for you, folks. That's going to happen eventually. And as the light in you breaks forth and begins to shine, then that's what's going to begin to turn creation around. Because he said, you're the lights of the world. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased and incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that's talking about Israel. Scripture says they're not all Israel who are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called, and the children of promise. That's you. That's you. Just like the scripture says, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly in circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew who's one inwardly, and his circumcision is of his heart, not his flesh. And, you know, come to realize when the word talks about these things, it's not talking about something ancient, and it's not just talking about Israel over there. And God's going to do some miraculous things over in Israel. He is. But I got news for you. You're the Israel of God. You're the Jerusalem of God. You're the Jerusalem that's coming down from above. That's you. That's not some mystical city that's going to come down. That's you. When you finally get out of the going to heaven thing and start thinking about, Lord, bring your kingdom here on earth. Because that's what Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They asked him one time, they said, Lord, what shall be the signs of the time of the coming of your kingdom? He said, it don't come with observation. For the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Within you. Praise God. One more scripture. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. I love this scripture. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Where can I go? Get away from your spirit, Lord. Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And now listen to this. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, I'm going to tell you something I watched on television the other day. I like to watch scientific programs. I've always been interested in science. And I don't agree with a lot of things science say, especially concerning the things of God, because they're speaking it from the natural mind. Some of the stuff that they've come to realize, it had to be miraculous for them even to come to it. How can you talk about an atom that you can't see? How can you talk about a molecule that you can't see? You know, they can't see them, you know. One of the things that you talk about when you talk about atoms, there's negative particles in atoms. And when you put negative and negative together in the natural, what does it do? Take a magnet, try to put two negatives together and see what happens. It repels. Why doesn't everything blow apart? Why doesn't everything repel? The scientists were talking about, they're starting to get it a little bit, see. And I love listening to them sometimes because I think they're starting to pick it up a little bit. They were showing universes that are out there beyond our universe. And they know that when you've got these planets all spinning around and rotating around something in a circle, they know that that's negative particles. It's just like an atom. It's negative. And you have to have a negative and a positive to attract. And the scientist was saying, well, you know, he said, we believe there's dark matter. Dark matter. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that term or not. He said, we believe there's dark matter. He said, we don't really know what it is yet. We're trying to call it, you know, I think I can remember what they called it, quirks or something. They called it some goofy name. And they said, but we kind of believe that you can't see it, but it surrounds all the universes and keeps them from blowing apart. Now, remember when I read you before? All by him, all things do what? Consist. I believe what's surrounding those planets out there, all of those universes, is God. It's God. And they don't know how to call it God, because that would go against some of their beliefs. And you say, well, but Oscar, we know God's light. And they're calling that dark matter. But you know what I'm going to say to you? It's because it's on such a higher level of vision. To them, it's dark. But I think it might be God just surrounding everything. I think it's God that keeps the atoms from blowing apart. The molecules from all these, everything is made up of atoms and molecules and stuff. And they're negatively charged. And when you put negative things together, they don't stay together. Those chairs you're sitting in right now, if God removed himself from those chairs, you'd fall on the floor. He's holding them chairs together. You say, now, Oscar, you're getting way out there. No, I'm not. He is. Everything consists by him. He's the force that holds everything together. And in finality, we're going to come to realize this whole thing has been all about God all along. And you know what? He's in you. You are the light. Now, the last thing I'm going to share with you. I wrote this poem years ago, and let's see if this fits in to what I just preached to you this morning. And this poem is called A Doer of the Word. A doer of the word I desire you to be. As you listen to my voice, it will set you free. As you follow the leading of the inner light, it will go brighter and brighter until there is no night. And your life will begin to fade away as you listen to my word and do what I say. Harmony and love will surely abound as the glory of my presence does totally surround. And those around you will be drawn to the light and will exclaim with excitement, what a wondrous sight. God and man, how can that be? The outray of his glory in you and me. And I'm going to tell you what, as we become a doer of the word, that poem will come into total existence, because that's what he's all about. And I won't tell you the joke I was going to tell you this morning. I didn't tell you the joke this morning. It was kind of a negative joke. I guess I won't tell you that joke. Unless you want me to, I'll tell you if you want to hear it. Okay. I'll close with this. It's called What Did He Say? An elderly couple were driving across the country. The woman was driving, and she got pulled over by the highway patrol. The officer said, "Ma'am, did you know that you were speeding?" The woman, hard of hearing, turned to her husband and asked, "What did he say?" The old man yelled, "He said you were speeding." The patrolman said, "May I see your license?" The woman turned to her husband once again and asked, "What did he say?" The old man yelled, "He wants to see your license." The woman gave the officer her license. The patrolman said, "I see you're from Arkansas. I spent some time there once and went on a blind date with the ugliest woman I ever seen." The husband turned to the woman. The woman turned to her husband and asked, "What did he say?" The old man yelled, "He said he thinks he knows you." That's bad. No man should ever say that about his wife. Because they're the most beautiful thing that ever came into our life. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, sometimes we need to laugh at things. And we need to realize that, Lord, you are bringing us into that light that we might be a reflection of you. We are that light. Your word declared that. In Matthew, you said, you're the lights of the world. That was Jesus talking. And Father, until we come to the full realization of who and what we are in you, this world's going to remain a dark place. But Father, I just ask you to help us come into that full knowledge of who and what we are in you, that you might be glorified. And we'll give you all praise and all glory and all honor for everything that you do. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you all. Have a great day.